Hello, Burton. Isn't it gorgeous today?
Rather. Should be lovely in the water. I'm certainly ready for a swim.
I say, old man, those swimming trunks of yours.
Huh?
They're a bit on the short side, aren't they?
Well, it's funny you should mention that. I was just going to say I thought yours were a bit on the short side, too.
And that was an excerpt from Brief Encounter. Another in our series, a film worth remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for those with patience and understanding, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are pole squatter Edgar Longbottom, Natasha Crickweed, the masked pipes of the BBC theatre organ, Garstairs Thunkerton, Prunella Postcard.
She's nothing to write home about.
To continue, Sybil Blewett, his most eminent worthiness, the potentate of Potter's Bar. And, of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Beyond Our Ken, which takes its title from last week's show of the same name. As a matter of fact, it might interest our regular listeners to know that the title Beyond Our Ken was a second choice. Originally, we wanted to call this program
The Half an Hour of 30 Minutes, containing witty whimsicalities, amusing anecdotes, satirical sketches, jocular jests, and sparkling repartee, with a spot of vocal harmony, musical margin notes, and orchestral embellishment, carefully coordinated and presented by a group of well-known and loved artists for your listening pleasure and enjoyment. Show.
But unfortunately, the BBC wouldn't allow us to use the title. Apparently, there already was a show of that name. With Gladys Young. However, after all that, let me now tell you, before we get faded out, some of the things that have happened since we last met. On Monday, I was feeling a bit under the weather, so I tried out a new tonic, consisting of yeast and boot polish. It's wonderful stuff. It really makes you rise and shine. Tuesday, I went along to the BBC to see our producer, Jakes Brown. Now, just behind the BBC, next to a little place called Fred's Nosh Bar, there's a beautiful restaurant with elegant decor, exquisite food, and the choicest wines. Well, Jakes insisted that the lunch was on him. So, of course, we went to Fred's Nosh Bar. On Wednesday, I decided to pop in and see Hugh Paddick, who always gives me a good welcome, so I knocked on the door of his flat. Good morning.
Sorry, I've got plenty of shoelaces.
Well, on Thursday, I thought I'd get a better reception from Kenneth Williams, so I went up to his flat.
Whoever it is, go away!
Oh, I can. It's only me, Ken Horne.
Oh, it's you, Ken.
Yes.
And go away.
But look.
I'm sorry, I can't see anyone this morning. I've got my hair in curlers.
So on Friday, I went up to our house in Hampstead and called on Betty Marsden.
Well, hello, Ken. Come on in.
Well, on Sunday... I spent my usual quiet day at home and listened to my second favorite radio show. It's that film magazine program introduced by somebody who sounds rather like me. You know the one. It goes something like this. Hitchcock around!
Especially rotten for sound radio. And here is your compere, Peter Vague.
welcome once more to your favorite film program. Excerpts from the most talked about picture of the year, an exclusive interview with Frank Sinatra, and a special report from Hollywood are just a few of the items we haven't been able to get. However, first in picture go-round, we meet the brilliant new British star, Albert Skinny.
I'll do.
Well, now, you've already acquired the label of an unconventional young man. Is it true you attend film premieres with jeans?
Oh, no, it's sometimes Judy's or Shirley's or...
Well, now, let's talk about your first big film success.
I mean Friday afternoon, Saturday lunchtime.
Yes, pretty realistic, wasn't it?
Well, it made room at the top look like Noddy in Toyland, yeah. It was great fun, full of sex, violence, and foul language.
Yes, well, thank you. Thank you, Albert Skinny. And now we have an excerpt from this controversial film of life in the raw in the industrial north. However, since some of the dialogue might be considered daring, we have removed it from the soundtrack. Here, then, is an abridged excerpt from Friday afternoon, Saturday lunchtime.
Well, Harry, so you...
Aye.
You might have...
He would too, the rotten... and with an air gun. It's a...
Well, I'm not anymore.
But I thought... And another thing.
Aye.
Look, why don't you...
Aye.
And you...
So much for Friday afternoon, Saturday lunchtime. Now for music from the films, one of the lovely numbers from South Pacific, and it's sung by our very own Janet Waters.
I expect every one of my crowd to make fun of my proud protestation of faith in romance. And you'll say I'm naive as a babe to believe any fable I hear from a person in pants. I've been known to share your satirical attitude, thinking that love could be kept in its place. That lyrical attitude bounced up and hit me smack in the face. That's how I turned out to be the happy young woman you see.
Jolly nice, Janet. Well, now for a roundup of news from British studios. Here is Peter Noble.
Hello there. Well, I just come back from a visit to Pine Tree Studios, where on the floor at the moment is
some rather gay linoleum. It stars Vandal Scott and Farley Winters, who tell me that in spite of their recent marriage, they remain good friends. Over at Borewood, I met a charming and delightful starlet, Barbara Mason, who incidentally had her figure insured for 20,000 until she fell down on her premium. Barbara... Actually, Barbara took me back to her new luxury flat in Chelsea and showed me her magnificent Ming vases. At least that's what I told Mrs. Noble. Exciting news from the Crank organization is an English version of... English version of Butterfield 8, to be called Margarine 9. And they tell me that 9 people out of 10 won't know the difference. One last item. I hear that a musical of Lady Chatterley's Lover is being planned under the title of The Pajama Gamekeeper. Well, that's all for now from Peter Noble and my friends, the stars.
Thank you, Peter. Well, another film excerpt now, and this time it's a new French film starring Michelou Montage and Danny Gabel. Since you will not be able to understand it, I will give you the English subtitle. Well, the title itself is Nuit de plaisir, amour et passionnel. In English, Carry On. And this scene is where the two lovers meet for the first time.
Oh, mais je l'en crois, les mots et les vos émotions, je le crois, mais je l'en crois, les vos émotions, moi, je le crois.
Lovely weather we're having. Hello, Peter. I say you look absolutely spiffy. I have a red pencil box. Come here. No comment. Darling, you're standing on my foot. Time now for Spencer Harrington and this week's film quiz.
Well, first of all, let's test your knowledge of films by asking, what famous picture did this come from?
Okay, mister. Draw!
Well, that was, of course, Rembrandt. I expect most of you got that easily. Now, this is a little more tricky. Listen carefully now. Who is this?
Please lend your little ear to my plea.
Not so easy, eh? But you'll kick yourself when I tell you that it was Michael Holliday. Impersonating guess who? That's right, Dave King.
And thank you, Spencer Harrington. Now, one of the sadly neglected aspects of today's cinema are the supporting features. You know, the things you have to sit through while you're waiting for the big picture? Well, these interest films fall roughly into two categories. First, there's the English countryside type.
Oh,
Nestling at the foot of the downs, just off the M1 motorway, is the picturesque little hamlet of Mudbury. Kissed by the sun and caressed by the gentle summer breezes, Mudbury stands as a shining monument to the past. With its quaint cobblestone streets and ancient buildings, most of which bear a commemorative plaque on the wall saying, "Condemned." Yes, here one can still observe the traditional old craft of muckle warting. And watch the centuries-old custom of dipping the squire in the duck pond. Mudbury is proud of its ancient heritage, its industrious population, and its dirty old squire. Yes, time has passed by this remote corner of old England. I wish we had.
And our final excerpt is from the soundtrack of a classic wartime picture now showing at the National Film Theatre. It was too new for television. The title is They Shall Not Have Us. It starred Celia Mitchell and Trevor Hawkins, and this scene is at the railway station where the British officer is returning to camp.
Clive, it was such a heavenly weekend.
Yes, Helen, it was. Heavenly.
How long have we got?
My train leaves in 5 minutes.
Oh. This is the moment I dread, Clive. Sometimes I hate Waterloo Station.
Chin up, old girl. It could be worse.
Yes. I suppose it could be St. Pancras. 5 minutes. So, there's so much to say and so little time to say it in. How beastly this war is.
Did you pack my tennis racket?
Yes, darling. Oh, Clive, I try so hard to be brave, but when the time comes, the apple trees will be in bloom next week.
Apple trees? Yes. I always picture you standing by the apple trees.
Do you?
Yes. Standing there with an apple in your hand, its rosiness matching your cheeks.
Oh, cry.
Spitting the pips into the peony.
Clive, I didn't want to tell you this, but sometimes at night, when I lie awake and listen to the planes droning overhead, I think of you up there. Then I think of all the searchlights and the gunfire and oh, it's all so...
Helen.
Yes, Clive.
I'm in the Navy.
Oh.
This is it, Helen.
Clive, I'm going to turn round. I can't bear to see you go.
Helen.
No, please. Go quick. Go.
No, I haven't.
Clive!
Helen, I just remembered something.
What is it?
I'm demobbed.
So much for the silver screen. And now to the golden voices of our resident songsters, the Hornets.
Oh, Johnny, please tell me, dear, what makes
you. I'm just, oh, Johnny, oh, Johnny, oh. All the girls are crazy about a certain little lad, although he's very, very bad. He could be,
oh, so good
when he wanted to. Bad or good, he understood about love or other things. For every girl in town followed him around just to hold his hand and sing. Oh, Johnny, oh, Johnny, oh, Johnny, how you can love. Oh, Johnny, oh, Johnny, oh, Johnny, heavens above. You seem to make my whole heart jump for joy. But when you're near me, I can't sit still a minute. I'm so, oh, Johnny, come on and tell me, dear, what makes me love you so? So like the lady said, you're not handsome, it's true. But when I look at you, I'm just, oh, Johnny, oh, Johnny, oh.
And so to the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week we present a close-up on public services.
Well, now, first let's consider transport. After all, they always consider us, don't they? Now, you, sir. You say, what do you think about services?
Oh, it's useless asking me such a thing. I'm not a user of any transport system. I prefer to cycle to business myself.
Oh. You go by bike?
Yes, off to the city on my bicycle every single day. Oh, it's such good exercise, and I never miss, despite the various elements. I've cycled through storm, snow, sleet, ice, frost, squally showers, mist, all sorts of weathers. Never catch me patronizing the buses or tubes. It's far too expensive.
Yes, you mean the fares?
No, it's not the fares I find costly.
Well, what is it then?
Well, you see, every time I say a sixpenny one to King's Cross Station, they fine me £5.
Well, now, let's meet another well-known public servant, for the dustman.
How do you do? Enchanted to know you.
Oh, such as mine. Now, tell me, as a dustman, what do you think of your job?
Well, personally, I think it's a load of old rubbish. But it's quite a worthwhile job, of course.
Well, it is indeed, and you are just one of many of the...
No, that's where you're wrong. I happen to be a very special sort of dustman.
Well, how do you mean?
My old man's Lonnie Donegan.
Of the many public services, it's hard to pinpoint any special ones or special mentions. But we certainly must consider the vital importance of the fire service and pay tribute to those brave and fearless men of the fire brigade.
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles. My word, how smart you look in your uniform and those lovely shining buttons.
Well, I had to polish them up after last night's call.
I thought you were magnificent last night.
Oh, no.
Yes, I do.
I must honestly say, though, the way you nipped into that 6-4 block of flats.
No wonder you've gone right to the top of the ladder.
Oh, Charles, please. Oh, no. Yes. Now, you were the real hero. What about the way you handled the hose? You had that fire out of control in a minute.
But it's nothing, Ron. Nothing. Doors is only in the grate.
But it wasn't our fault. It was the wrong house.
Oh, all right. I'll get it. Don't bother.
Hello. Yes?
Good heavens.
Right, we'll get there right away. What is it, Charles? We've got to get down to the park quickly. It's one of our own firemen.
What happened?
He's got his head stuck in the railing. Oh, it's cool now.
Now
to the police.
We were very glad to read recently that our police force will be considered for a substantial increase in pay. Now, how would this affect the policemen of the future?
Oh, excuse me, Constable. Could you tell me the time?
Oh, certainly, madam. It's 4:03.
Well, now, we mustn't overlook the National Health Service, and particularly the work of the ordinary doctor, whose praises often go unsung. We sent Cecil Smith to a surgery somewhere in London.
Well, listeners, I'm speaking to you now from the waiting room of a general practitioner picked out at random. There are quite a few people here, and I myself am waiting to see the doctor with considerable patience. Let me describe this waiting room to you. The heavy floral wallpaper is relieved by the...
Next, please.
Oh, yes, that's me, yes.
And what's the matter with you?
Well, nothing, actually. I'm from the BBC, and...
The BBC, eh? And there's nothing wrong with you?
Well, now that you mention it, I do have a slight headache.
Then allow me to give you a draught. Here, drink this.
Oh, thank you. Well, listeners, you see how efficiently this help.
This is Cecil Smith from the surgery of Dr. Jekyll, returning to the studio.
Finally, a service we all rather take for granted every time we switch on a switch in the house. Electricity. Where would we be without it? Well, in the dark.
Ambrose, quickly, darling. All the lights have gone out.
All right. Don't panic. I'll get onto the electricity board. I've just remembered. Yes? It's Sunday.
Yes, darling, I know. It's a Sunday.
Why do you tell me a silly old faggot?
Ambrose.
I won't come out on a Sunday. It's a disgrace. I suppose I don't think anything can go wrong on a Sunday.
Miss Ambrose, my darling.
They ought to be ready to come at a moment's notice.
Ambrose.
What do we pay for anyway? Here we are in the dark, and they don't care, do they? What is it?
Have you forgotten, my darling?
Eh?
You are an electrician.
Oh, so I am.
And you work for the electricity board.
I know.
Well, then, why don't you too see to the light?
On a Sunday, no fear.
Have a day's rest. All right, thank you very much. Well, there'll be another Hornorama next week, and the subject will be carpet manufacturers. Do they make a pile? Also, in next week's program, there'll be an excerpt from the new novel about life in the civil service called The Passing of the Third Floor Buck. The BBC Variety Orchestra will be playing selected gems from Hatton Garden. And we shall be giving you details of a new radio program in which old age pensioners will give away Wilfred Pickles. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought from a listener. Is a Scotsman in the Territorial Army a Scotch Terrier? Good night.